All right. We're continuing tonight our study on the subject of love. And there's so much. You know, I've heard of preachers who have preached all year long on one portion of Scripture, one passage, you know. And this would be one of those type of series I could go on endlessly, but rest assured, we won't have you endure that much. But you've heard the saying already, I'm sure, love makes the world go round. It's a very common saying. And then a song from back in the 80s. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Okay, now some of you are nodding and recognizing, and others of you, you'll have to turn to the oldies and goldies to hear that. But thousands of pages have been written in poetry to promote love. Philemon, if you'll turn in your Bible to Philemon, all right, after the Thessalonians and the Timothy letters, that's where Philemon, one chapter epistle, just 25 verses. And the Apostle Paul writes about love. You see, the Apostle Paul, because of his calling and authority in the church, could have ordered and directed Philemon, who was the master, to take back and treat kindly this runaway slave of his, Onesimus. However, Paul chose not to do that, but rather he appeals to Philemon based on love for Philemon to take Onesimus back. Now, if you'll read in Philemon, I'm going to read verse 8, 9, and 10. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. You recall the story, how Onesimus had run away, came in touch with Paul, came to know Christ as his Savior, and Paul tells him, now look, the right thing for you to do is go back to your master. Now that master could have done horrible things to him, would have been within the laws of that day. The Apostle Paul sends this little 25-verse letter and says to him, now look, I could demand of you, but he said, I'm approaching this differently, and I'd like you, for the sake of love, to receive him back. So now you see, he puts this whole situation on an altogether different level. Okay? And actually what we see here is the Apostle Paul levels the playing field. Because Onesimus, he came to know Christ as his Savior. And if you look over in verse 16. Well, let's start at 15. For perhaps he, Onesimus, therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldst receive him forever. So he ran away, you lost him for a little bit of time, but listen, you're going to have him back forever now. Amen. Now, forever, meaning he's going to be a faithful servant of yours, faithful slave, but you know, you're going to spend eternity together. Okay? And so, now look at verse 16. Not now as a servant. He wants him to come back, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved. So he not only says to Philemon, now, willingly accept back back this runaway slave, but then don't just take him back as a servant. I want you to bring him back in a higher position. And he says, as a brother, beloved, and especially to me. Oh, now, Paul puts that personal touch here. Okay? You see, he says, now you receive him back. You're going to have him back forever. And you receive him as a brother. And why don't you do this for me? So, now Philemon, you see, and Paul's very diplomatic. Okay? Paul's very diplomatic. It's a good thing to be diplomatic.
Yes, sir.
Okay? And look at here. He says, especially to me, but how much more unto thee? He said, he's special to me, but he's going to be special to you, both in the flesh, earthly, and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If you'd accept me, Philemon, accept Onesimus. So that gives us a little bit of the groundwork here in what's being dealt with. And so we see here, love is a great controlling influence. When you love someone, you do what pleases them. And you don't do what displeases them. It's just that simple. And it's the way true love works. This business that many times a fellow will say to a girl, well, if you love me, you'll do thus and such. Okay, that's definitely a lie. That's definitely a lie. Because true love pleases an individual, not displeases them. Love is not selfish. It does not think of self first, but rather it thinks of others first. This is one of the greatest ways we know that Jesus Christ loves us. Because he didn't think of himself when he could have avoided the cross. And he would have liked to. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now, this part of him over here knew that it wasn't possible. But he was a man, fully man, and suffering in agony. But love is what caused him to do what he did. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. And that word constrained means to control, to direct, to motivate. And so, how is it? The love of Christ. So what makes me do what I do? The love of Christ.
Amen.
When I don't feel like doing something. Ever had a time when you didn't feel like doing something? I guess. But we do it anyway. You see? We do it anyway because of love. And love is what prompts us. You've heard me quoting this verse in these messages on 1 John 4:19 that says, we love him, God, because he first loved us. It is his love for us that influences us to love him. And that's something that's so very, very important. Now, when the Apostle Paul says, Philemon, I appeal to you on the basis of love. Paul goes to the core of things. He goes to the very foundation. He goes to the root of a believer's existence in Christ. What is the basis of our existence in Christ? What is it that enables us to claim to be a child of God? One born again by the Spirit, it's love. John 3:16. Say it with me. You boys and girls know that one. You can say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, indeed. God loved us. And that is the basis of our existence and relationship with God through Christ. Now, we realize that the blood was shed, the atonement was made, and all of the marvelous truths about our relationship to God, we understand they're all a part of it. But love is the essential. Now, love can expect certain actions. All right? Now, that's the next point I'm going to be making. Love can expect certain actions. This is true between a husband and a wife. If there's love there, certain actions can be expected. And some can be unexpected. In other words, they shouldn't be there. And between a parent and a child, if love is there, certain actions, both ways, parent to child and child to parent. And this is true between God and His followers. Now, we're going to just hit the pause button a minute, okay? When I introduced this whole series, I referred to 1 Corinthians 13 and called it the love chapter, okay? And talked about how faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. Yeah, I see some of your smiles. Pastor Asquith came to me afterwards. And he said, "Now, brother, there are going to be some people who, because I've taught them about 1 Corinthians 13, they will have noted what you said." And you did, didn't you? Yeah. And so you wondered, well, now, what's going to go on here? Well, well, Pastor encouraged me to read chapter 7 of his book, Further Thoughts on the Word of God. And, you know, I'd read it. And as I said to him in an email that week, you know, I even believe that. But just as he said in that book, it's so easy to fall into the normal, into the commonly accepted, and not even realize what's taking place. I have argued for the use of the word charity because it is a word of action. And you know, this time of the year, you can even see that because you have charitable organization. These are organizations that not just say they care about people, but they take actions to evidence it. And so, I'm glad he spoke to me. Thank you. Because, you know, that is very accurate. And I like the way he put it in his book. Charity is the character of love. And in another paragraph he said, charity is the mechanics of how to make love visible. And so a person can say they love, but I want to see it.
Amen.
I want to see it in action. And that's what the various points of 1 Corinthians 13 do. They give action to what is stated. And even though the very word agape, the ultimate word of love in the scriptures, is used, in that particular instance, a charity is the right interpretation of it. And if you don't understand why, get his book and read chapter 7. I don't have enough time tonight to go into that. But I did want to make that acknowledgement and that correction. All right? And that correction. And because love can expect certain actions. Now, turn, if you will, to Psalm 116. The book of Psalms, Psalm 116. Psalm 116, verse 1 says, "I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications." Verse 2 says, "Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live." Now verse 9, "I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." Why? Because of verse 8. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from falling, my tears and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord. And then verse 10 says, I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. Because I believe, I speak for the Lord. You see, love prompts us to speak for the Lord. Because we believe. We believe what we were told. We believe what the scriptures declare to us. And when a person loves God, there are certain actions, certain ways of living that can be expected. I mean, when a man loves a wife, a husband loves a wife, okay? There are certain actions that she can expect. And when a wife loves a husband, there are certain actions he can expect. And listen, in all of the great love relationships, husband, wife, parent, child, you boys and girls, with your moms and dads. Okay? life is a two-way street. Never goes just one way. Because if it goes one way, that's selfish. And love is not selfish.
Right.
It reciprocates. And so in all relationships, we know that there are certain things that can be expected by each party. When a person loves God, they will want to do what pleases God. What pleases God. Now, there's a lot of things that we could say and do say, because preachers are known for saying a lot. Okay? I mean, wouldn't that be something if you came in here and Sunday morning, you know, and Pastor Asquith stood up here and took about 5 minutes. Okay? And stopped. Now, what would you think? You would think something's wrong, yeah. Okay? We're known to say a lot. And that's okay. That's the purpose of preaching. And it's to help us to know what pleases God. Now, I want to touch on one thing tonight, and that is God is pleased by faithfulness. 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul wrote his first letter to the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church was a troubled church. It had lots of difficulties. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. 1 Corinthians in the New Testament. Chapter 4, verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Stewards frequently refers to somebody who is a manager of somebody else's things, okay? And so we are managers of the mysteries of God. Verse 2, moreover, in other words, in addition to the fact that we are to be accountable as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Okay, I'm a Christian. I'm a steward of the mysteries of God. I have a wonderful responsibility. Wow, that's great, you know, and I feel good about that. But he says now, if you're, what's required as stewards is that a man be found faithful. So it isn't so much the position as it is that through the position we evidence faithfulness to God. Verse 17. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. He says Timothy was faithful. Being faithful is important. Now you folks are faithful. Tonight, faithful to the prayer meeting. Faithful to the church. That's good. Every one of you have something else you could be doing. Every one of you have something else that you might like to be doing. Okay? And why it's even possible there are maybe just one or two here tonight, but that would rather be doing. I'm just trying to speak of the reality.
That's right, brother.
But faithfulness, we just do what's faithful. And God blesses that. Remember the three Hebrew young men? They were faithful in Daniel chapter 3.
Amen.
And then Daniel himself in chapter 6 of that book was proven to be faithful. Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, when they were in prison, they were faithful. Being faithful, God commends. God commends you for being faithful and being here tonight. Now we know with the snow, some of the older folks especially, others have other responsibilities that keep them from being here. So I'm not, you know, speaking that if you're not here tonight, you're not being faithful. There are understandable situations, all right? So don't hear something I'm not saying. But the fact of the matter is, you're here tonight and you're faithful, and God blesses faithfulness.
Amen.
Now, I don't know how He'll bless you for being here tonight, but He will.
Sure.
Now, I wouldn't wake up in the morning expecting to see a new car in the garage. I think that's that'd be too big a blessing for a very basic thing of being here tonight. But the fact is, He will work in your life. For it is one of my favorite passages in Philippians. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His own good pleasure. He's working in you. You don't have to feel it. You don't have to see it. He promises, I'm working in you.
Amen.
Aren't you glad for that? Boy, I sure am. Because I don't always feel spiritual. Okay? I don't always feel religious. I don't even always feel happy. Now that doesn't surprise my wife. But God's still working in me. Okay. There used to be a chorus, a gospel song, wasn't there? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Sun and the moon and the stars and whatever in that song. I don't know. My wife's laughing. I get songs mixed up. When I sing them at home, I take two different... I'm very talented, I am. I take two different songs and I blend the tunes together. And you just sang two songs. Didn't know it could do that, did you? Faithfulness is important. I think we're going to stop there. I'll pick up on that next time. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 19. That's where He called His servants and He gave talents to several of them. And then He had them come back. And we see how faithfulness comes to play in there. But right now, we're going to end. And because of road conditions, Pastor suggested that maybe what we do is just have a few men pray here in the auditorium.